Great. If you want to come and find your seat, that would be great. And or if you want to find a different seat, feel free to do that. Chris, I thought you were going to preach my sermon, because how can you have a dedication of Elijah and not speak on Elijah, right? So Elijah will appear in this message today. Well, I want to tell you that there's something powerful about our names. Do you know that? And I read in the week, this isn't what I'm speaking on, by the way, I'm just rambling now. I'm sort of reading various different things at the moment. And anyway, one of the things I read is that years ago, when babies would come to be christened, if a priest didn't like the name, they would change it as they christened them. There you go. That's a thought, isn't it? It's all right. We like Elijah. It's good. Yeah, can you imagine that, parents, eh? If that happens, the name gets changed by the priest because they were like, no, you can't have a name. I want to tell you, don't underestimate the significance of names. Did you know that Elijah means Jehovah is God? Yeah, that's pretty good, isn't it? Jehovah is God. Do you know what your name means? I don't know, maybe you don't. Do a little bit of digging, find out. Man of the North, is that what Norman means? Gail, I looked up your name in the week. I don't know why, I just felt I should. Your name means joy. Did you know that? Isn't that beautiful? Is Tash here? Where's Natasha, or is she out? Oh, I don't know why, just different names popped into my head, and Natasha was one of them, because I thought, oh, I don't know what Natasha means. And I think it was names that I thought, oh, I don't know that they're in the Bible, and I was just intrigued to know. Natasha is born on Christmas Day. Anyway, somebody needs to tell her that when you see her. But also that it just goes on to explain what that means. So, yeah, look up your name. And I want to encourage us, maybe just ask the Holy Spirit, is there something you want to show me about my name? Just throw that one out there. Don't throw off what your name is. And Gareth's been speaking about this when we've been looking at Daniel, hasn't he? That actually God gives us a new name. So why don't you spend some time saying, God, what is it? What do you call me? What's my name? I know of people that have changed their names. Do you? I know of people that have done that. They've literally changed their names. And sometimes you think, well, that's a bit weird. But I think maybe they just had such a revelation of God about something. They've said, I'm just going to change my name. I'm Sarah, you know that. And I spent most of my life knowing that Sarah means princess. And so that was what I just thought, I'm a princess. And when you're a girl, you think, oh, it's okay, I'm a princess. But I don't know, it never stuck. It wasn't something that stuck. And then in the last few years, what God's been revealing to me is I've just said, God, what does my name mean? And he's shown me from the book of Galatians a whole new understanding of Abraham and Sarah. And Paul calls Sarah the free woman. Isn't that good? Come on. So now when people say, what does your name mean? I go, freedom. Sarah, the one who is free, and I'm on a journey of discovering that. Anyone with me on that? So do a little bit of digging. Find out, what does your name mean? And then sit with God and say, okay, I thought it might have meant that, but actually, is there something else? The clock is ticking, but it's okay. Lord Jesus, help me to say what you want me to say and to ignore the rest. I've been watching a program a little bit this week with my girls, Amy and Kezia. I don't know if you can put the images up, John, if that's all right. I've got a few of them. This may resonate. Maybe some of you have been watching this as well. I don't even know what it's called. I call it Cake or Not, but no, that's not it. Hey, there we go. Does this image mean anything to anyone? Yeah, is it cake? Is it cake? Do you like it, Caleb? Yeah. Okay. Is it cake? So here's the deal. I don't actually watch a lot of television. I really don't. I don't have enough patience to watch television. But this one, the girl said to me in the week, I forget which day it was now, they went, oh, come and watch this show. You'll really like it. And I moaned a little bit. But then actually, I did quite like it as I got into it. So this is the premise of the game. It's basically a baker. In fact, they're more than bakers. They're artists, right? Can they create a cake that looks so much like a real object that it fools the judges? Yeah, put up your hand if you know what I'm talking about. You know this program. Yeah, look at that. Okay, so the burgers, I don't know, because you might not be able to see that so well. I don't know what the answer is, but I wonder which one is cake and which one is a burger. So I don't know, have a little look. I don't know what the answer is. Do you know what the answer is, Amy? You found me these images. I don't know. Amy could have a good guess. But anyway, is it cake? Let's look at the next one. There's another image there. Here we go. So these are all shoes, trainers. One of those is cake. Which one is it? Which one is it? It's clever, isn't it? So one of them is cake and one of them is not. Is there another image or is that it? I can't remember. I think there might have been four that I sent you, John. Here we go. What's that meant to be? Oh, it's a hat. Is that a hat or is it cake? It's cake. Is it? You're not fooled, Nikki. You're like, no, it's cake. It's cake. Yeah. Is it okay? She said, did you hear that? Nikki said, I know cake. Rah. Next image. Is there another one? Oh, look at that. Handbag. It's cake. It's a bit of a giveaway because of the knife, isn't it? But pretty impressive. You get the gist of it. Here's the message I've got this morning, and I really am going to go quite quick, so I'm just going to slam this one with us now. The whole object of this quiz game is for the bakers to fool the judges, to believe that something is real that isn't real, to believe that their cake that isn't real is real. And I want to tell you this morning, Harbour Church, those of you that are gathered and you are with us today, the whole strategy of Satan, our enemy, right from the beginning of time, is to fool us. Come on, stay with me now. I'm going to speak for about 20 minutes. I want you to stay with me. Is to fool us into believing that what he says is real when it's not real. And it's so close. Can you put up that image again of the shoes, John? Is that all right? I just want us to stick with this for a minute. When I watch this program in the week with the girls, I'm sitting there going, I don't know, I don't know. How many times do we say that about the things, the lies that the enemy sows into our minds? I don't know. It's so close. You look at it all, you go, which one's real, which one isn't real? The strategy of the enemy, he is a fool, but yet he's not a fool. He's cunning, he's deceiving. If he made it so obvious, we'd fall for it every time, right? Like, I mean, we wouldn't fall for it. Sorry. If he made it so obvious, we'd be like, oh, there he goes again. He's cunning. Jesus says he's a deceiver. In other words, we can be fooled by him. You're looking at someone this morning who often is fooled by the enemy's lies. And I reckon I'm looking at a load of people who are the same. Anyone want to confess it, right? And so here's the thing, because the strategy of the enemy is, let's see if I can fool you. Let's see if I can trick you. It'll be ever so slight, you might just miss it. But let me see if I can sow something into your mind that will cause you to believe something that is not real, and you'll think it's real, but it's not real. This is the strategy of the enemy. And I want to tell you this, he knows the power of it. He knows that if we believe his lies, we will be bound and we will be unable to live and operate in the freedom that Jesus gives us. I read this in the week, the mind, your mind, come on, just touch your mind for a minute, will you? Your mind is the control center of all activities. You don't do anything without first thinking it. And the enemy knows that. And so his strategy is to sow lies into our minds to disarm us, to render us powerless. He says, if I can just get into their minds, if I can sow doubt, if I can sow lies, if I can sow fear, if I can do that, it will affect and impact their behavior and it will render them powerless. If you've got a Bible, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3 to 5. The words are going to be on the screen, if that's okay, Ethan, if you can put these up now. Because of time, I'm not going to be able to unpack all of this, but come on, can we begin to grow up a little bit and dig into the word ourselves? Can I hear a yes to that? Yeah, don't expect to come here and be spoon-fed every week. Like stuff that we're just throwing out here now. Go away and start digging into it yourself. This is what Paul says in one of his letters that he writes to a church in Corinth. And amongst many other things in Paul's letters, it's a very passionate letter, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians. There was probably 3 Corinthians. We just don't have that. But in Paul's letters to this church in Corinth, he is pouring out his heart as a pastor, as a leader to these believers over so many issues. But one of the issues is that Paul is being criticized, and he's being criticized, and they are attacking his identity and his authority. Go away and read it. And so he is responding to that. He's responding to the attack that he's receiving. And it's a harsh attack. They're literally criticizing the very being of who Paul is and what he brings as an apostle. And he says these words in response to that. He says, we are human, but we don't wage war with human plans and methods. We use God's mighty weapons, not mere worldly weapons, to knock down the devil's strongholds. With these weapons, we break down every proud argument that keeps people from knowing God. With these weapons, we conquer their rebellious ideas, and we teach them to obey Christ. That's a lot of words. And some of you are sitting here right now going, oh, that's like a riddle. What does that mean? Let me tell you what it means. Paul is basically saying there's a battle going on. Don't be ignorant to that. Our battle is not a human one. Our battle is a spiritual one. Our battle is over truth. That's our battle. When we read about Jesus in the wilderness, the temptation of Jesus, here's the thing. It wasn't a battle over power. Who's the strongest? Is it Jesus? Is it Satan? That wasn't the battle. It was a battle over truth. That was the battle. Garden of Eden, what was the battle over? Truth. Did God say? Oh, it's ever so slight. Which one's cake? Which one's not? Which one's real? Which one's not? Did God say? Are you sure he said? Did he say that? Did he say that bit? Oh, I don't know. Oh, I'm more confused. Do you know what? If you're feeling confusion, where does that come from? It does not come from God. I'm telling you. Oh, God. What do you do when you're feeling that? You get in the presence of God and say, Lord Jesus, let your peace come and fill my mind. You begin to use the gift of tongues. You begin to pray. God, I want your light. I want your truth to come and expose the lies of the enemy. Listen to me, friends. We are in a battle for truth. It was there from the beginning, and it's still here with us now. And Paul, in these words in Corinthians, he's saying our battle is over truth. He's talking about tearing down strongholds. What are those strongholds? They're the lies. And he's saying to this church in Corinth, I'm not going to have it out with you. I'm not going to come and smash your face in. I'm not going to use your weapons. In other words, manipulation, criticism. I'm not going to play your game. The stuff that you're attacking me with, I'm not going to play it back. Rather, what I'm going to do is I'm going to stand in truth. My battle is for truth. I'm going to live in truth, I'm going to speak truth, I'm going to walk in truth. That's what Paul says. He says, we tear down everything that sets itself up against God. Who is truth? God. Anything that isn't of God is not truth. Right? So as believers in Jesus, our battle is to demolish, Paul says, to tear down, to bring down every argument, everything. Another translation says, every pretension, anything. I don't know about you, but I live in a world that seems to set up an awful lot against the name of God. Right? Friends, our battle is to live in truth, to speak the truth, to walk in light. And as we do that, we demolish the enemy's strongholds. Is anyone hearing me today? Lord Jesus, I want to pray right now, because already now in this room, I can feel it. There's a blockage in our minds. Some of us aren't getting this. And so, Lord Jesus, I want to pray freedom over us. I want to pray that we would understand the truth of your word. Can you say amen to that? Why is it that you come into environments like this, or you can be in connect group, or you can be in conversation with someone, and that there is... The Lord's trying to say something, and yet your mind is bombarded with other thoughts. Has that happened to you? Yeah. Is it happening right now? She's smiling at me. It's happening right now. Is it happening right now? Can't quite tune in. Is that happening? Thinking about your dinner? Thinking about an argument you had yesterday? Is it happening right now? Where are those thoughts coming from? Can we just call it out? Yeah. Is it interesting that the enemy will do all he can to distract you and stop you from listening right now? Yeah? You listening to me now? I'm just saying, it happens to all of us. All of us. The enemy's cunning, and he'll do all he can to stop us. All he can. He's the father of lies. It's not a bad thing for us every time we gather together, every time you read the word, to pray, Lord Jesus, I want to concentrate on this. Have you ever tried reading this and you just can't concentrate? A zillion other things come into your mind. Does that happen to you? Like a zillion, you start reading. Oh, and so little tip, pen and paper. Write it down. If you're old-fashioned, I mean, if you don't do pen and paper, you know, quit, message on your phone, do something. In fact, put your phone away. Don't have your phone with you when you're reading this book. Anything to distract us from the truth. The enemy knows the battle of it. Come on, let me wrap this up by talking about Elijah. Chris, you were right when you said about Elijah. What a man. Kings trembled at his voice and his presence. The rains stopped. The jug of oil never ran dry. If you don't know these stories, go and read them in 1 Kings 17, 18, and 19 especially. A boy was raised from the dead. Fire fell from heaven. Revival broke out. Hundreds of idolatrous prophets of Baal were executed. And then we get to 1 Kings chapter 19. And then, after all this dramatic events that took place in this incredible man, Elijah, what a powerful man. And then we read this in chapter 19, that Elijah ran away scared because Jezebel, who was married to the king, the most wicked king the Bible describes him, the one who was most furthest away from God, Jezebel throws out a threat to Elijah, I'm going to kill you. And Elijah, this phenomenal prophet who has literally just called down fire from heaven, literally. I mean, Mary Jane stood here last week giving out a rah. Like if anyone had a rah in them, it was Elijah. And yet this man was running in fear for his life. Can we put up the verse, Ethan? Is that all right? I want us to listen to what he said. Elijah's having a conversation with God as he's hiding away. And God beautifully says to him, Elijah, tell me what's going on. I love that about God. God comes to us and he says, tell me what's going on. And Elijah says this, I have zealously served the Lord God Almighty, but the people of Israel have broken their covenant with you, torn down your altars and killed every one of your prophets. I alone am left, and now they're trying to kill me too. I want to ask this question this morning in the last 5 minutes or so that I have. What was it that caused Elijah to run away in fear? Was it Jezebel's threats? Yes, for sure. But I want to go, no, I don't think so. Because Elijah had so many threats. He had had so much. He'd faced so many things and he'd managed to stand against them. Was it just that Jezebel got under his skin on this particular day? There's some truth in that, but that's not the whole truth. Was it because he was so battle weary? Yes. I can't blame him, can you? He was exhausted. And God so beautifully took care of his exhaustion. And I want to tell you this, my friends. God wants to take care of our exhaustion too. David said this morning, Dave said this morning when the first song we sang, come and rest in the arms of Jesus. I don't know where you're at this morning, but I want to tell you this, that my God is a God who knows when we need to stop and rest. He took care of Elijah. He cooked for him, gave him food. He told him to rest. He told him to sleep. He took care of him. Elijah was like, I just want to die. I've had enough. And God said, I know that. When I read this beautiful story, this encounter between Elijah and God in chapter 19, I just read of the care of God. Literally as if God is just put his arms around him, stroking his hair, just going, Elijah, I've got you. I've got you. I've got you. Just rest. What a beautiful image. That's what God wants to do to you. Will you let him? You let him come and just soothe you and bring you comfort and restore the weariness of your soul. But I'm going to tell you the real reason that I think Elijah was running away in fear. And I think it's found in this last sentence. Can you put it up, Ethan, for me? Because after Elijah's terrified of Jezebel, after he's weary, he says this, I'm the only one left. And here's what I want to suggest to us this morning, that Elijah's real weariness came from believing a lie. Because God said to him, no, you're not Elijah. Elijah, who sowed that fear in your head? Who sowed that lie into you? Twice Elijah says in this chapter, I'm the only one. Everyone else has left me. It's just me. Have you ever had that thought before? Have you ever had moments of just sitting and just going, it's just me? Maybe not because you're physically alone, but because you just feel inside, you just feel like, I'm the only one. Have you ever felt like God's called you to do something and you go, but God, why is it just me? Or have you ever felt like God's asked you to do something and everyone else, well, but God, why me? This is where Elijah was at. I'm the only one. I'm the only one. God gently says to him, no, you're not Elijah. And he gives him a strategy. He talks to him. He says, now I want you to go and find, and he begins to name people. I want you to go and find these people. I want you to go and raise them up. But Elijah, he says, I want you to know that there are hundreds of others that have not bowed their knee. They are still worshipping me. They haven't bowed their knee to a false god. They're with me. Elijah, 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 you are not on your own. And what was God doing in that moment? He was exposing the lie. He was exposing the lie. And I want to tell you this, is that that's exactly what God wants to do with you and I. He wants to come along and he wants to expose the lies that have filled our head. I don't know what they are for you. I know what they are for me. Even this morning, I was aware of them. In fact, I say even, as if that's a surprise. Every day, right? Come on. Every day. This morning again, I'm just literally brushing my teeth and thoughts are coming into my head about a particular situation. And I literally had to go out loud, that is not true. It's not true. And it's hard. It's a battle. Sorry for the news flash, but a battle is hard work. It's not lying on a beach easy, easy. It's hard work. Some of us need to flex our muscles a bit and get ready for it. The battle for truth is there every day, every day. So what do we do? I want to tell you this very quickly. We need to bring our whole being under the light of God's word to us. We need to know this book. We need to know what he says. Oh, and it's so cunning because, oh, I wish I had more time to talk about this. Some of the messages that are in our world today seem so scriptural. They're not. We live in such a world at the minute of self-love, 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 self-love. Just love yourself, love yourself, love yourself. Sounds so Christian, doesn't it? It's not. Let God love you. Let you find your freedom in God, not in discovering your true self. You don't know. Your true self is in him. But it all sounds so Christian. Go into any card shop, go into any little place at the minute, all these plaques around, and they all sound so Christian, and we fill our homes with them, and they're all so wonderful, and they're all so lovely and spiritual. They're not. Live under this and what this says. Is this landing on anyone today? We have to be careful. I have to be careful. I buy into it as well. I buy into wearing the tops, getting all the things, loving all the little images. I love it all, love it all. Brilliant. We have to be careful. What does this say? Read the book. We need to live under the light of God's word. We need to live in the light of God's presence. Oh, draw close to me, God says, and I will draw close to you. Guys, you can come up because that will help me. We need to, I want to tell you this, and I know many of you are the same as me. You begin to feel the battle in your mind, best thing you can do, put on worship music. Fill your home with truth. Fill your mind with truth. Come on. Mary Jane said this morning, just 2 minutes will make so much difference. How are you going to win the battle if you don't sit and allow God's light to expose the lies? We have to sit under his word. We have to sit in his presence and allow him to come. Allow his light to shine. Can I tell you what else we need to do? We need to walk in truth with one another. John 1, chapter 1, he says this, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we will have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus will cleanse us and purify us from all unrighteousness. What a precious verse. In other words, this isn't just about me and God. Too many of us live with that lie. As long as you're right with you and God, that's not what the Bible tells me. The Bible tells me my freedom comes when I'm right with you. Did you know that? Or no, I'll just make it me and Jesus. Me and Jesus, me and Jesus. It's not true. It's not true. James says, confess your sins to one another. Confess your areas of struggle that you may be healed. He doesn't say confess it to God. He says confess it to one another. Now, I'm not saying confess it to everyone. Know the right people. Let's not be foolish about this. right? I'm not going to confess everything to you guys now. I'm not going to do that, right? But I believe if you ask the Lord, he'll show you who. He'll put people in your path and he'll say, they're the one. Ask him. This isn't about many, it's about a few. But this is what it means to walk in truth, and that's how we're free. It's not just you and Jesus. Jesus says, no, that's a cop-out. That's a cop-out, he says. Walk in the light as he is in the light and discover true fellowship. Wow. And that does not come easily. We have an enemy. Oh, come on, I've been in church my whole life. I know the reality of it. Some of you will walk out of here this morning thinking thoughts about people that aren't true. Just because somebody didn't look at you or didn't talk to you or somebody said something or you misunderstood something. Come on, can we just call it out? Isn't that the truth? We have an enemy who will come and whisper in your head. Did you hear what they said? Did you see what they did? Oh, they're so much better than you. Oh, they're so much worse than you. I don't know, whatever it might be. Some of you have got it right now in your head, thinking things. Shut up, Satan. I seriously was in the bathroom this morning, brushing my teeth. A thought came into my head. And I literally out loud went, shut up, Satan. I am not going to believe that. Not going to believe it. Was there an element of truth in it? Yeah. But was there a whole pile of truth over here that spoke more volumes than that? So what am I going to believe? What am I going to believe? What am I going to sit under? What am I going to align under? Is anyone hearing me today? Huh. Wow. Lord Jesus. The enemy lives and operates in the darkness. When you begin to feel fear, shame, and the desire to hide away, isn't that what happened in the Garden of Eden? Isn't that what happened to Elijah here? I'm just going to hide away. I'm just going to hide away. None of that is of God. For God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. Light brings freedom, healing, wholeness, restoration, transformation. Ethan, can you put on the last verse for me? Is that all right? And with this, I conclude. If you... Don't worry, I'll be safe with this, I promise you. If you watch the program, Is It Cake? You know how it ends, right? The crazy presenter, and he is crazy, by the way. He's a bit weird, isn't he? Crazy American presenter. Gets his knife out, and in a really dramatic way, and he's all like, oh, and all the music's playing, and it's all so dramatic. Google it, watch it, all right? It's on Netflix or something like that. And the judges have to pick, I think it's that cake, and they, number three, and he goes with his knife, and he goes to cut it. And either it doesn't, because it's so hard, because it's the real object, it doesn't go through. And he comes to the fake one, puts it in, it slides in. Oh, do you know what, when I saw that in the week, I thought, that's what the Word of God does. Come on, look at this verse with me. For the Word of God is full of living power. It is sharper than the sharpest knife. Oh, is anyone getting this morning? Come on. It cuts deep into our innermost being, thoughts and desires. It exposes us for what we really are. Maybe seven years ago now, I lose a bit track of time. I went on a silent retreat and it utterly transformed me. So many stories I could tell from it. As I got in the car to come home from this silent retreat, I said to the person I was with, I feel like I've been under the surgeon's knife. I feel like I've been on an operating table and he's just got his knife out and he's just began to cut through. I want to tell you this, my friends. You can trust the surgeon's knife. You can trust the Word of God that's sharp. It's a sharp knife. And it will come and it will cut and it will prove what's real and what isn't real. And it will take away that which is false and it will leave that which is real. My question is, will you surrender to the knife? Are you willing in this place today to say, yeah, I'm going to trust the knife. I'm going to trust the knife. What is the knife? It's the word of God. I'm going to live in truth. I'm going to live in truth. Come on, let's begin to worship together. Is that all right? Let's just begin to sing. And as we begin to just sing, remain seated. I don't want you to stand up. But I just want this image of the knife to just resonate and go, God, I want to allow the word, your truth, to come deep into the very core of my being. To remove that which is not of you, and to leave that which is truth.